1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The head of the FCC, handpicked by President Trump, is speaking out after ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel Live indefinitely after the talk show host accused conservatives of politicizing Charlie Kirk's murder. Brendan Carr on Fox.
We at the FCC are going to enforce the public interest obligation. If there's broadcasters out there that don't like it, they can turn their license in to the FCC.
President Trump's wrapping up his state visit to the UK with meetings at Prime Minister Keir Starmer's country home. CBS's Ed O'Keefe is there.
Tariffs and trade are expected to top the agenda here at Checkers today, but we're also likely going to hear conversation about issues like the wars in Gaza and Ukraine, as both leaders have struggled to figure out a path to peace.
An all-new Trump-era CDC advisory panel is about to begin a two-day meeting. Reporter Sabrina Cupid.
The first item on the agenda for today is the measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox shot. The panel could recommend that the MMR shot be given separately from the chickenpox shot.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. New technology released for rising rivers and floods. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us more.
NOAA's new river flooding maps are out in western parts of Wisconsin. Mainly focused on the Mississippi River Valley, this is a new tool that visually shows in high resolution street-level views of where floodwaters may rise onto land. It basically puts water on a map for forecasters to see precisely what streets and homes are at risk. It calculates the current flow of rivers and gives a new forecast update every hour for the National Weather Service to use. This will help with both flood forecasting and warnings. The flood inundation mapping, called FIP, can also forecast up to 5 days out. The program started just 2 years ago, but only covered Louisiana, New York, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Now, 60% of the country has this new information to work with. By next year, NOAA says the entire country will be covered, including eastern areas of Wisconsin, near Lake Michigan, and up north. The National Water Prediction Forecast models will be used for more than 3.6 million river miles. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A popular Green Bay grocery store chain is being bought out by a St. Louis-based company, Connie Fellman reports.
Festival Foods will keep the same name, but be owned by the newly formed 1939 Group Incorporated, the holding company for the Schnucks Market grocery chain. Mark Scogan, outgoing CEO of Festival Foods, said in a news release the transition will help expand the company's impact and continue their tradition of community support across the Midwest. Scogan's Festival Foods and Hometown Grocers has 51 stores throughout Wisconsin, including here in Northeast Wisconsin. 42 stores operate under the Festival Foods banner. I'm Connie Fellman.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Magic number is 6. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers one step closer to locking up the Central Division with a 9-2 win over the Angels at AmFam Field. They go for the sweep today. Blake Perkins with great play in center field and 5 runs batted in. Perkins on what it meant for him after the game.
I mean, definitely like confidence boost, you know, being able to come through for the guys, that's always big. I mean, all these guys support me every day. It's good to have some results like go my way.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers and Maryland Terrapins this Saturday at 11 a.m. Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. The Packers, were their first road trip, face a tough Browns defense in Cleveland. Right tackle Zach Tom was out last week after suffering a bruised hip and thigh.
It's kind of hard to run. That's like the main thing. I feel like moving side to side, I'm good. But like anything that involves me trying to like get out and open up, then I can kind of feel it a little bit. But yeah, we just got to work through it.
That's Packers offensive tackle Zach Tom. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly sunny, maybe a stray shower or storm today, and a high within a few degrees of 80. A slight storm chance for tonight. Low in the upper 50s. More storms around Friday, high low 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real results is going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brittany Merlot will tell us how long our season of summer will continue. And the Brewers continued trying to wrap up their division. J.R. Radcliffe with more. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Thursday morning, September 18th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing the shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. So is Trevor Young, a candidate for state senate in the Racine area. We'll talk about his campaign coming up in just a bit. And after 7:30, we will talk to Dr. Kelly Snooks, a pediatrician who is now doing a new video series for Up North News. You can find it on all of our social media feeds and in her newest installment, all about what vaccines actually are and what vaccines actually do. So the doctor is in. The doctor's in your phone. You can call up these videos on the Up North News social media pages any old time. And again, we'll talk to her at 7:35. You can also sign up for our daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. But there's somebody else that's in the newsletter business, and that would be Civic Media. They have a new daily newsletter filled with links to show highlights and more. And theirs is on Substack. So if you go to Substack, I'm sure you can search for Civic Media Today or just put in this address, civicmediatoday.substack.com, and get signed up for their newsletter as well. Let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot now to talk about a somewhat rainy morning, depending on where you are. Brittany, looking at the radar here, it's like all these little splotches around Shawano Tigerton, around Crandon, around Phillips, somewhere down there near Prairie du Chien. So, I mean, it's not certain at all whether you're going to get rain or not at this point this morning, right?
No, it's really not. I got to be transparent with you. This weekend and the rain and who's going to get it and how much is kind of up on the air at the moment, mm-hmm. because we've got just a really big complex system moving through. So it's really hard to forecast. So what we're looking at this morning is it's about 60 degrees all throughout the state, low to mid upper 60s out there. Spotty showers mainly north this morning as a front is draped across, but that is going to be dropping south through the state today. And then we've also got a low pressure system itself inching closer and closer, expected to move in on Saturday and Sunday, potentially bringing some heavy rainfall to places. So a wet next few days ahead. Just make sure you have that umbrella on standby or maybe toss the raincoat in the back seat, because you never know when it's going to happen over the next few days. Right now, we are looking at more clouds north. Again, spotty sunshine further south and by Lake Michigan today. Highs will hit about 70 degrees far north. It's still hanging on to some heat south in the mid-80s. And we are looking at more storms sparking up this evening, probably after 5 o'clock or so. Those are going to be widely scattered and then become more numerous as we go through the overnight. I do think it's going to target more north and central in the state before it starts to move south later on into the weekend. So tomorrow it'll be mostly cloudy. It'll become breezy as well. Highs still hit 70 up north, 80 down south, and more showers and storms into the afternoon and night. And then it really ramps up, like I said, into the weekend. Highs will drop to about 65 north and stay at about 80 south for the weekend.
So another way to put it is thoughts and prayers to Jeep owners everywhere who have to keep the top up, have to keep the doors on. I suppose for campers and everybody else too, but mostly for Jeep owners.
Mostly for Jeep. I know.
Brittany and I,
we want to single yourself out, guys.
Yep. We want the open air driving. It's just going to have to wait. Things are a little too spotty. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Hey, let's turn right into the 2026 campaign because it's been a busy week. We had two different candidates for governor announce. You know, we had State Representative Francesca Hong here on the program yesterday. State Senator Kelda Royes announced her candidacy on Monday, and she will be here on our show next Monday morning to talk more about her run for governor. We had Corrine Hendrickson on yesterday, breaking the news officially that she's running for state senate over in southwest Wisconsin. And now we have a state senate candidate in southeast Wisconsin to introduce to you. His name is Trevor Young. He is a former member of the Racine City Council and is running for the seat currently held by Republican Van Wongard. Trevor Young, how are you? Good morning.
Pat, I feel good. It's an honor to be on your show. Thank you.
Well, it's nice to have you here as well, running in the Racine area, 21st Senate District. And so let's talk a bit about your own story getting to this point, and then we'll talk about the race itself. But and for folks on the radio, his last name is spelled J-U-N-G, and you can learn more at TrevorYoung.com. Again, Trevor, J-U-N-G.com, and learn about his state Senate campaign. But tell us first a bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'll start at the beginning. So I was actually born halfway across the world, and I was adopted from an orphanage in Russia when I was two. And so my dad, who's a fourth generation Racinian and small business owner, raised me and made a life in Racine. And as a product of the public schools and my neighborhood, I grew up with this real sense of gratitude. You know, wow, life could have been a whole lot different had my dad made a different choice. And so, you know, being so grateful for my family's love and also so grateful for my community, I grew up with a sense of wanting to give back. So went off to university to study urban studies and urban planning because I thought, you know, what can I do for my hometown? You know, these are local, you know, issues that we can address. There's a lot of potential where I'm from. And so I came back after university and ran for city council. So served two terms on the city council, elected twice, and then was hired on to the city to be the transit director because a passion of mine is transportation, making sure people can get to where they need to go. Doctor's appointments, work, school, because, you know, mobility really equals freedom, making sure that people can be self-reliant and support themselves and their families. So we've done a lot of really exciting things in Racine, but I've also seen how the state, instead of being an ally in good work and making sure people can support themselves and have that independence, has been an adversary in gutting shared revenue, which is state support for local government, going after public education, making it harder for urban and rural school districts to be able to get the resources that their students need to be able to have the skills to grow up and contribute. And so what's inspired me is that I want to see Southeast Wisconsin be a real destination where people who are skilled can make a life here, and then people who are raised here and have you know, quality education can stay.
We're talking to Trevor Young, a candidate for state senate in the Racine area, and it's very interesting that you mentioned the transportation issues, because while Van Wongard is the current senator for that area, the previous senator, John Lehman, I served with him, years ago. And one of the things that John Lehman and I and other legislators were working on were these regional transit authorities in ways to enhance regional transportation, to make the different modes more in sync, trains and buses and everything, rather than just trying to, you know, pave our way to less traffic, which is never going to be the full answer. So all these years later, with former Governor Scott Walker killing the train system, and Republicans still just going full in on you know, cars, and nothing but cars. It's interesting that you're still tapping into a public sentiment that says we need a more comprehensive transit solution.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're, you know, I remember that there was a political slogan that said open for business. And if you're open for business, you need to invest in multimodal transportation because, if you want to attract the next generation of skill, which then brings about major employers to say that they want to locate in your community, that's going to take more than just one type of transportation option. I mean, this is about options, you know, whether it's public transportation, whether it's passenger rail, whether it's, you know, in your own vehicle. You know, we need to make sure that all of these systems work, because that's what makes the region most competitive. I'll tell you a story. So we're right between Milwaukee and Chicago. That's the third largest economic region in the United States. That's the 10th largest economic region in the world. Yet the city where I hail from, Racine, struggles with stubborn poverty and unemployment. And that's because we're the largest city furthest away from an interstate highway. And so for us, even though we're in the heart of this economic region, we need to do a better job connecting our residents and folks who live in District 21 to opportunity within the corridor. And so, you know, that's a all hands on deck moment for us to get the answer right so that we grow Southeast Wisconsin.
It's been clear from the remarks made by Van Wongard, who has not yet officially stated if he's going to run for another term or not. But I mean, it is the usual playbook. You are a Madison, California liberal, raising taxes, boys and girls locker rooms, more San Francisco than Milwaukee. I'm not seeing anything original here. So I'm guessing you're probably prepared for all of these talking points and more that are going to come up during the campaign.
Yeah, I imagine that statement was crafted well before anybody announced they were running for this seat. So I've never lived in Madison. I've never lived in San Francisco. I've always lived in Southeast Wisconsin, whether it was going to UW-Milwaukee for my undergrad or always, you know, living in Racine. And so I think that this campaign is going to be a lot different in terms of tone. If they're going to take the tact that, you know, insults and, you know, following national partisan narratives is the way that they're going to address issues, what we're going to do is talk about issues like affordability, good paying jobs, making sure that those who are the most vulnerable have the services that they deserve, making sure that, again, local governments have the resources that they need. You know, that's a huge element of public safety. Our police and fire departments are all municipal employees, so we have to make sure that we're providing safe, thriving communities. And that's what our campaign is going to be focused on. So that will be the big difference.
And of course, now Wisconsin has fairer maps instead of the gerrymandering that essentially drove John Lehman out of that seat. So the 21st district now is some of the north side of Racine, Caledonia, Raymond, parts of southern Milwaukee County, including Greenfield, Franklin, and Hales Corners. So talk to me about the winnability of that district for a Democratic candidate like you.
Thank you, Pat. I think we can win this thing. We're going to work hard. We're going to earn every vote. It is an ideal district for a healthy democracy in that it's a 50-50 district. So you've got to have the better ideas. You've got to communicate that boldly and connect with people. And so we're feeling really good about this campaign. Governor Evers won the district. Senator Baldwin won the district. All of the judicial candidates in the last several cycles have won overwhelmingly in this district. President Biden won this district. Vice President Harris won this district. So we feel really good about this. It's always going to be tight, and you're going to have to work hard. But I think that the wind is at our backs, and we're going to have a positive campaign focused on the issues that people care about.
And then finally, of course, we've got to talk about the how did Van Wongard put it? I will not make my opponent's youthfulness and inexperience an issue in this race. This actually sounds more like a passing the torch moment. I mean, in terms of folks of your generation being willing to step up and not just have the apathy that, say, my generation had at your age.
Yeah, no, that statement even echoed, I think, Ronald Reagan Walter Mondale. You know, and so if we're talking about a different generation, we're definitely deciding on it on a new way. So the old way hasn't worked. Austerity, defunding our public services, defunding public schools, you know, a race to the bottom so that we fight for scraps outside of Madison. That has not worked. Wisconsin is the third most left, or the bottom third of states where people are leaving. Mm-hmm. And that's not right, because we have beautiful natural amenities and we've got great communities. And so a better vision means a winning campaign.
That's right. All right. To learn more about Trevor Young, trevoryoungjung.com, and over at Facebook, look for Trevor Young for State Senate. Trevor, great to meet you. Safe travels. Thanks for stopping in and telling us a bit more about your campaign.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.
All right. We appreciate you stepping up and running like that and for visiting with us today. Dr. Kelly Snooks is still coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
On Thursday night, the Wausau East High School football team travels to Mosinee for a Great Northern Conference matchup. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau East High School football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Compass Properties, Grand Avenue Artifactory, Sun Printing, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Lop Notes, The Mill Yard, Northland Painting, Mua's Callan Street Pub. It's Wausau East at Mosinee and High School Football, Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 on your home for high school sports. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning once again, everyone. The time is 7:22. Partly cloudy skies, 65 degrees here in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes and Ian Welsh. WXCO Morning Report here on 98.9 WXCO. We were supposed to have Nancy Stenzel with us, but Nancy a bit under the weather here this morning, so hopefully she'll be feeling better. She'll be back with us in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to take these two segments that we were going to have Nancy in this hour, and I want to talk a little bit about where we are as a country and in terms of some very disturbing things that are going on. And to start off with, I could not have put it any better than in a newsletter that I receive, and I've done this before, where a man that I greatly respect is a baseball writer, but also somebody that's very smart when it comes to news and politics, Craig Calcaterra. He's got a newsletter called Cup of Coffee, and I get it every day, and he does have free Thursdays, so you can actually get his free newsletter today, Cup of Coffee with Craig Calcaterra. And he put it, I think, exceptionally well. I'm going to quote him here. And again, this is straight from Craig Calcaterra. This regime has done objectively worse things since coming to power. And this is the Jimmy Kimmel news.
about Jimmy Kimmel being removed from the airwaves by ABC last night for an indefinite period of time. This regime has done objectively worse things since coming to power. Its lawlessness already has a considerable body count. But it's hard to imagine an act it could take that is more contemptuous of American values. The government identified a voice it did not like. It threatened ABC with reprisals if it did not silence that voice, and so that's what it did. It's one of the most shameful governmental acts in our nation's history. Not for whom it harmed. Jimmy Kimmel will be all right. But for what it represents. I mean, you could not find a more textbook case of state censorship than that. It's a flagrant and arrogant attack on the most central and fundamental right in the American experience. He continues, and I was actually just as disturbed by the actions of the American Broadcasting Company last night. And he goes into that direction as well. He says, it's an act, of course, that could have been stopped if there was anyone at ABC with a spine or a conscience. Or if there was even a bare majority of people in Congress who at least pretended to honor and fulfill their oaths of office. The country is under attack from the Trump regime, but it's the cowardice of the men and women in positions of authority within our government and our most important civic institutions which has made Trump's attacks successful. One day Trump will be dead and his psychotic reign will be over. But the abject failure of our lawmakers, the media, law firms, universities, and businesses to do even the bare minimum to help defend the American experiment is something from which it will take a very long time to recover.
Wow.
This is, again, an action where the President of the United States and people in his government are threatening human beings, citizens, businesses with reprisal if they don't toe the party line. That is the definition of fascism. We had, I think it was yesterday or the day before, Trump was having a Q&A on the White House lawn as he was getting ready to fly off to Great Britain. Must have been 2 days ago. And he got asked a question he didn't like.
Okay.
He was asked questions about the amount of money he's making as president of the United States, where he is basically, he is using his position to get richer and richer and richer. And he didn't like that. And he basically told the reporter that we can, that he was an ABC reporter. He said, ABC has already paid us $16 million. We can come after you next.
Oh, boy.
He said that. And yet, this kind of stuff just keeps getting rolled under. No great outrage. I mean, the media, and I've got to say, we are part of the media. The media covered Joe Biden being old a lot more tough than they are the major constitutional norms that are being flushed down the toilet by Donald J. Trump.
That is true.
And it's not just Trump and his governmental allies. It's the people that now are trying to make everybody think exactly like they do, these right-wingers. Mm-hmm. And it's right here in central Wisconsin. They are combing, I'm sure they're combing my social media. They're combing other social media, looking for ways to get rid of people that don't agree the way they do. Trying to get city councilmen to resign because of social media postings. Getting people fired from their jobs for social media postings. You talk about cancel culture, which they railed against for years.
Right.
That's all they're doing right now. And then there is the idea that if there are these rules that you shouldn't talk about certain things in a certain way, well, it should be on both sides of the street. It's not. If you think the same way that Trump and the other people that are combing through everybody's social media postings right now think, then you can say anything you want. And I've got almost a handful of examples that show the hypocrisy of it, which I'm going to talk about coming up in the next segment. Because I do believe there is a responsibility when you have a microphone, that the freedom of speech is just that. There is also, there's you can be held responsible for your speech as well.
Right.
So you can't say anything without fear of having some sort of bad thing happen, like losing your job. Mm-hmm. But you would think it would be fair, and it's not being fair right now. And we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. The time is almost 7:30. We'll have the Farm Report, weather update, and then back to Pat Kreitlow for more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back at 7:52 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
We don't talk about them a lot in Wisconsin, but if you've got sheep, a couple health-related issues you might want to watch out for. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We'll find out what those health issues are with Todd Taylor from the Arlington Sheep Flock. That's up next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Todd Taylor is the shepherd at the Arlington Ag Research Facility. He said this year there's a couple different things they're watching as far as their animals' health. One is rising cases in what they call Cache Valley virus. It's something spread by mosquitoes, and there's no vaccine for it. The other is something called Hummocus stomach worm.
We'll want to consider if there's any abortive agents that they need to vaccinate for that time of year. But truly, most of your vaccination program is going to start either later in the fall as you're nearing lambing season in December through March. The biggest one, of course, is Clostridiums or Clostridium type CD and tetanus are the three that the sheep producers probably worry about the most. This time of year, either you're in breeding season or you're getting near to breeding season, you're going to think about internal parasites. I know stomach worms. Hummocus has been a big issue in the Midwest this year with the rainy season.
Todd Taylor, shepherd at the Arlington Ag Research Facility, just reminding anybody that owns sheep, keep an eye out for things like Cache Valley virus or the Hummocus stomach worm. Consult with your veterinarian if you've got some issues. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. Yeah, they've got issues. I've got numbers next.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
Barrel cheese on Wednesday went up 2¾ cents to 164. 40-pound block cheese was up 5¾ cents, 168.5. Well, double A butter gained 4 cents, 181 a pound this morning. October's Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 20 cents, 17.56. December corn's down a penny, 4.26. November soybeans down 4, 10.40. July new crop wheat up a penny at 5.67. There's your market update. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly sunny, maybe a stray shower or storm today, and a high within a few degrees of 80. A slight storm chance for tonight. Low in the upper 50s. More storms around Friday, high-low 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely, but bring this back to mental health and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station
and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times writer Victoria Davis, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins us to update us on everything Wisconsin sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tomorrow, of course, we'll have our regular Week in Review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, Courier Newsroom's Kia Bakil, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Mike Clemens with sports, Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast. Just a lot to tune into tomorrow. If you can't stick around, then put us on a podcast. Head over to Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure you follow Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, a federal committee that recommends vaccine policy for Americans is going to start meeting to review immunizations that have been in use for a very long time. It's called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP, and it's expected to vote on shots for COVID and hepatitis B, as well as others. And of course, as we've talked about, the Health Secretary, Robert Kennedy Jr., has frequently baselessly questioned the safety of these vaccines. And yesterday, you'll recall, we played a clip from Senator Tammy Baldwin talking to Susan Menarez, who was ousted as head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention after less than a month, because Menarez says Kennedy directed her to commit in advance to approving everything this ACIP board is about to recommend, regardless of the scientific evidence. With this ongoing campaign trying to undermine public faith in vaccines, it's worth going back to basics and finding out just what vaccines are, what it is that makes them work the way that they do. And that fits right in the wheelhouse of pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks, who is beginning a new video series for Up North News called Raising Wisconsin. And her latest installment, which was posted yesterday, talks all about vaccines. We're going to give a listen to that before we talk live with Dr. Kelly Snooks.
Hey, Wisconsinites, have you ever wondered exactly what's happening inside your body after you get a vaccine? Like, how is it working to protect you? I'm Dr. Kelly Snooks, board-certified pediatrician, and you're here with this week's Raising Wisconsin. Now let's talk about how vaccines actually work. The vaccines we get today protect us against so many viruses and bacteria, and each vaccine contains what we call an antigen for the disease that it's meant to protect you against. It might be a weakened or killed part of that germ, or even a tiny piece of its genetic material. These antigens essentially mimic the illness, and they sound an alarm to your body's immune system. Your immune system creates what we call antibodies against that particular virus or bacteria. That way, the next time your body encounters the actual illness, it's like, wait a minute, I know what to do with this. Then the antibodies that you've stored up thanks to that vaccine spring into action and prevent that virus or bacteria from making you severely ill. It's your body's way of building a powerful defense without having to get really sick first.
That again is Dr. Kelly Snooks, who joins us now to talk about the Raising Wisconsin series she's doing for Up North News. Dr. Snooks, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me. I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. So nice to have you here and have you doing this series for us. We're going to talk much more generally about the series, but with vaccines in the news lately, I just wanted to check, certainly with my wife being a physician, I'm imagining that you, like her, have probably had that basic vaccines 101 conversation more so recently, maybe than in years past. It's always been a thing, helping parents understand vaccines, but understanding how vaccines work seems to be much more in the public consciousness these days.
Yeah, you know, I think there has been a lot of discussion about vaccines lately, as we've seen with what's going on today. And I think that people are starting to get a lot of information and misinformation and really starting to question what is real and what is not. So these conversations about how vaccines work, what do they actually protect us against, have become far more common now than they were when I was even just doing general pediatrics during my residency training.
And yes, obviously it's part of the world that we live in now. There's a lot more information, therefore misinformation. And even if it's not misinformation, again, I think every doctor winces when a patient comes in and they got a referral from Dr. Google. And Dr. Google said, here's what you have. And then you have to maybe explain that it that may not necessarily be the case. So let's be sympathetic to the patients there. We're surrounded by more information than ever before. So what kind of guidelines do you like to offer your own patients when it comes to what they read and hear versus what they could hear through a visit to your office?
Yeah, you know, I think there's reassurance, right? That like you had said, there's so much information at their fingertips and they're not wrong to be concerned and look up this information to try and help them understand things a little bit better. I think when it comes to having those conversations with patients, you know, we in medical school go through so much training on how to actually understand what studies have been gone through rigorous testing, you know, what is some of the evidence that actually works to show that these treatments or vaccines, for example, are safe versus those that, you know, are maybe not as safe, or what studies are out there that are the ones that people are getting a hold of and being concerned about, that actually those studies are not as rigorous or actually have some really big flaws to them. So, you know, I think it's just that reassurance that you're okay to look this stuff up, but let's kind of go over what is the actual evidence behind these treatments or recommendations that we're giving you.
Yeah, exactly. And go through it together, go through the information, because, and this is the awkward part to bring up, but it certainly reminds us of the early months of the pandemic. Science, researchers, doctors, they're not infallible. And as we learned early on in the COVID pandemic, we were still learning our way through that. But that's not the same as being uninformed. It's simply taking you where the science takes you to next. And so lest listeners are saying, oh, there goes another physician and another physician spouse with some kind of a, you know, superiority complex or whatever. No, there's still things we don't know out there. But the alternative is not to just go based on innuendos and rumors and things like that, right?
Right. You know, one of the things that I think we call ourselves in medicine is lifelong learners, because medicine is constantly evolving. But the reason that it's evolving is because, you know, science has advanced so much over the past couple of centuries. I actually talk about that in one of my past videos. But the way that science is evolving, the way that these studies are going on, you know, we are also learning, and our recommendations might be changing because of new evidence that we have learned from new studies or new treatments that are out there.
We're talking to Dr. Kelly Snook. She's a pediatrician and is doing a video series for Up North News called Raising Wisconsin, which leads to this question. Doctors are busy people. You guys have been studying forever. You work in these long days, and now you're doing a video series, and you've been making videos on the internet for some time now. You're not the only doctor doing it, but can you talk to us about why you decided to get onto social media to start bringing these information to folks when, you know, you could have just sat in an office with a clipboard all day, but you've decided to be more proactive. What motivated you?
Yeah, you know, I think social media is a tool that you realize that you can reach so many people. I am a pediatric intensive care unit doctor, so I am seeing really sick kids, and a lot of what I'm seeing is actually preventable. So one of the first ways that I took to social media was actually for gun violence prevention because of what I was seeing at the bedside. And I think social media is one of those unique tools that can bring people together to connect, but then also has this reach that you can't even imagine, like how far your videos are actually going and being seen. And I think it's another way for us to just spread information and awareness about what is going on in the world, what's going on in public health. And as a pediatrician, public health and almost all these policy changes actually impact child health in a way that I don't think people can maybe understand or see. So it's my goal to kind of break that down and say, hey, here's what's actually going on, and here's how this can actually impact children.
What kinds of things would you like to emphasize in the Raising Wisconsin series? Things that either you've already done to start the series or things that you hope to do in the near future?
Yeah, so things that we've already done. So we have a few videos that are already out. One is just about like traveling safe during the summer. You know, people are hitting the road, they are flying, airplanes are full of germs. So how do you stay safe when you're flying? And then also the history of vaccines is another one that's been out there. So where did vaccines come from in the first place? We go through the details of the overlap between the cowpox virus and the smallpox virus back from the 1700s. So we go into detail on that. And then the one that you had just recently played about how vaccines actually work. It's not going to be all about vaccines. We're also going to cover other topics as well. Seasonal allergies will be coming up, how to stay safe in the car as far as car seats and safety go, bug bites, things along those lines. So everything from general health and wellness about children to some of the stuff that's going on. And I would like to know what other people want to see too, really addressing viewers' comments too, to try and get on those topics.
Yeah, that's been a real focus of the videos, is inviting people to share their own questions that can be addressed later on in the series. Dr. Kelly Snooks is with us. Tell us a bit about your own background and where you grew up, what led you to become a physician and go to med school.
Yeah, so I am originally from the South Side of Chicago. Grew up a little girl that I think just was, you know, that basic, I think I want to be a doctor when I grow up, and I stuck with it. I chose pediatrics and did my pediatrics training on the South Side of Chicago because, you know, children really don't have that much impact on their health in the future. A lot of the decisions that we make as an adult impact how they end up in the future. And I think that as a pediatrician, we have that unique ability to advocate for our patients to ensure that they can live healthy and fulfilling lives in the future. So that's why I chose pediatrics and went through that. I did medical school and my pediatrics training in Chicago, and then came up here to Milwaukee for my ICU training, and have been here ever since. So yeah, that's why I kind of went that route.
And in working as a pediatrician, you talk about the things that you've seen in the ICU, and so many times they are preventable. And we did, again, share some of the audio from people who, including the former chief medical officer of the Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Howery. And the soundbite concluded talking about, you know, how many more children are getting the measles and sometimes getting complications and sometimes dying unnecessarily, and that we're seeing that uptick. And we're in a state here in Wisconsin, which I think would shock a lot of people, that when it comes to measles immunizations heading into kindergarten, our rate is low enough now that it doesn't meet the standard for what's called herd immunity. So can you talk a bit about just measles and kids and getting up to date on those vaccinations and the danger if that vaccination rate sinks as low as it has in Wisconsin?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think since the time that I've been in Wisconsin or in Milwaukee, and that's since 2018, you know, we've had already two measles outbreaks. And like you said, our vaccination rates are really low in Milwaukee, below that herd immunity. Basically, that herd immunity rate is that enough people are protected against measles that if one individual were to get the measles, the rest of the community is protected enough that we will likely be able to overcome that and we won't see a large outbreak. Measles can be very scary when children get it. It can cause, you know, brain damage and ultimately death from that measles virus. And that's why we emphasize so much those kindergartners, you know, and actually even younger, you get it at 1 year to start getting that measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine to protect themselves against these severe illnesses that they can get. And the risk is actually to those that are even younger. So if you think about the children that are under one that haven't been immunized yet against the measles, mumps, and rubella, those individuals are even more so at risk because when we don't have that herd immunity, then they also don't even have the chance to get themselves vaccinated yet. There are some unique circumstances, so I recommend everybody talking to their pediatrician about that if you're under a year old and want to get your child vaccinated against the measles.
Absolutely. And again, for more, you can check out the Raising Wisconsin video series on the Up North News social media feeds, and send in your questions as well that Dr. Kelly Snooks can use for a future video installment. Kelly, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you so much for all you do. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for having me, you as well.
All right. Good to have you here. Coming up in our next hour, we will talk to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets and what does it really mean that the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates a little bit yesterday as the economy sits on the verge of stagflation. Plus, Joe Zepecki and more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
On Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team plays host to Wisconsin Rapids in a Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, and K5 Construction. It's Wausau West taking on Wisconsin Rapids in high school football. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 on Wausau's only radio home for high school play-by-play. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am sad today. I am sad about where this country is, where kneeling down to Donald Trump seems to be the default move for major network business in this country. And the latest was Jimmy Kimmel being suspended by ABC because Brendan Carr, the chairperson of the Federal Communications Commission, went on a far right-wing podcast yesterday and threatened to go after Disney and ABC because of what he considered out-of-line comments from Jimmy Kimmel on his program during the monologue on Monday. And ABC went into emergency meetings and decided, well,
we have a big merger coming up involving the NFL Network. And we can't be getting Trump's administration mad where they might be able to throw a monkey wrench in it. So they threw Jimmy Kimmel out into the cold. Seven-word statement that Jimmy Kimmel's show will be put on hiatus indefinitely. And I said in the last segment at the end, freedom of speech is not freedom from consequence. That if you say something, your employers could be upset. Others could be upset. That could cause troubles. That there's not a freedom of consequence. Things that I say, I can say I have freedom of speech. Well, no. I mean, I do, but at the same time, the consequences of what I say are not necessarily meaning that I will have permanent access to this microphone. The thing that is also upsetting in this situation is how it appears to be a one-way street for consequences. Mm-hmm. That the right coming after anybody who steps out of line and Trump's administration doing the un-American thing of basically throwing their weight around in this circumstance just for one side. We have had three different Fox News situations where comments, I would argue, are much, much, much worse and much, much more appropriate of getting some sort of consequence have been just rolled under the rug. Just last week, Brian Kilmeade, one of the co-hosts of Fox News' morning show, had a comment concerning a discussion about a fatal stabbing that occurred in North Carolina. The man accused of killing a woman reportedly suffers from mental illness and was living in a homeless shelter at the time. During the conversation, a co-host said that unhoused people who refuse treatment for mental illness should be locked up in jail, to which Kilmeade replied, they should be subjected to involuntary lethal injection. And just to make sure people knew what he meant, he said, just kill them. Just kill them. After a number of days, he came back with a mealy-mouth apology, and nothing will happen to Brian Kilmeade. In the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's death, Fox News primetime host Jesse Waters said that there should be vengeance and retribution for Charlie Kirk's death and to prepare for war.
Oh, dear.
Is that the kind of balanced commentary that we are hearing from so many folks about how you shouldn't say anything concerning the record of comments that have been made by Charlie Kirk in his lifetime? But is anything happening to Jesse Waters for calling for civil war and vengeance and retribution? No, not at all. And then there's the late-night host Greg Gutfeld. This past summer, a few months ago, Greg Gutfeld suggested that conservatives should reclaim the word Nazi, comparing it to how some black people have reclaimed the N-word. That he thinks that conservatives should wrap their arms around the term Nazi, let people know they are Nazis, and then brazenly say, well, black people have reclaimed the N-word. What happened to Greg Gutfeld? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, there were condemnations, but nothing ultimately happened. But now we have conservatives just peeling over every comment made on social media or on the airwaves, looking for anything that could be used to have them canceled immediately. And the same people that talked about freedom of speech, about all the speech that came either close to the line or even went over the line of hatred, but that's freedom of speech. You can't have people's speech taken away. We're seeing it one-sided. First, It was Stephen Colbert being pushed aside. Now it's Jimmy Kimmel. Anybody that says anything that doesn't toe the line of dear leader Donald Trump is in danger of having their jobs taken away and even more. And Trump just this week again threatened an ABC newsman that they'll be coming after him because of questions Donald Trump doesn't like.
These are very dangerous times we live in right now.
So people, wake up. If Trump just gets away with it, he's going to keep doing it. Over and over again.
That's right.
Coming up on 8 o'clock, I will be joining Pat Kreitlow in just a few minutes, and then we'll be back at 8:22 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and his FCC chair are cheering ABC for pulling Live with Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely after the talk show host accused the administration of politicizing Charlie Kirk's murder. UC Irvine Law's Susan Seeger.
They should have said, we stand by Jimmy Kimmel and we won't be bullied and there's no basis to cancel our license and just fight him in court if they try to challenge a license.
In the UK, President Trump and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer have just announced a tech prosperity deal.
This is very big, and I want to thank all of the incredibly talented business leaders, the best in the world, biggest in the world.
Two men will hold a news conference next hour. Health Secretary Kennedy's handpicked panel begins a review of vaccine recommendations today. CBS's Mark Strassman.
The new advisory committee will chart the future of key vaccines, whether to recommend them, and potentially whether they will be covered by insurance carriers across the country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.